Notes in your bulletin, and I'm so excited that as we're talking about life together, we're talking about the four promises that God has for every person, so that as we gather together, we know what to believe for with each other, and we understand why and how and what God's doing when we are together. And we're looking at this passage in Exodus chapter 6. That is what the Jewish people to this day celebrate every Passover. They recite these words in Exodus 6 as they review the four cups of Passover, and these four I wills we're going over are the four cups of Passover. And so we're not kind of making something up. This is the four core promises that God has always spoken to his people. And we remember that Moses spoke these four promises to people who are far away from the goodness of God, far away from peace and from freedom and from hope in their lives. Follow along as in your handout as we look at these promises right now. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You will know who I am. And I will bring you to the land I promised. And the context is all the world is going to see it. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that as we gather, there is a special grace upon us and a special work of your Holy Spirit in this room. We know in the book of Acts, every time someone had a breakthrough, they were with others believing in you and open to what you would do. So, Lord, bring breakthrough today in each person's life and receive all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. The people of Israel were not just physically a world away from where they needed to be. They were in their hearts and in their minds, in their habits, in their understanding, in their emotions, in their relationships. They were a world away. They didn't just have to get physically from one place to another. They needed to get in their hearts from one place to another, because they were so far away from what God had planned for them. They were supposed to know God, and when Moses comes to them, they don't know him at all. They were supposed to be leaders in the world, and instead they were slaves of the world. They were supposed to be people who helped other people have hope, and yet they were hopeless. They were supposed to help other people experience peace, and yet they were in constant pain. They didn't just need to take a journey physically. They needed to take a journey in their hearts. Something had to drastically change in their lives. And so God was making a promise to those people, the same promise he makes to us today in Exodus 6. I'm going to save you. I'm going to bring you out. And I'm not just going to bring you out, but I'm going to free you, because it's possible for me to move, be brought out of a circumstance and still have the same mentality. I can get into a new relationship and have the same emotional patterns in my life. I can get a new job or move to a new area and have the same fears. I can try to have a new marriage, and yet I'm going to find wherever I go, there I am. Because it's possible to be brought out of something, but not to be freed from it. And then God says, and what I'm going to do is I'm not just going to save you and free you, but I'm going to redeem you. And that's the promise we're going to talk about today. What does it mean when God says, he promises, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And then next week you get to hear, and I'm going to fulfill you. God's making a promise, and there's lots we could say about these promises, but to keep it real simple this morning, God's saying, I'm going to make you a promise. You feel trapped. You feel defeated. You feel enslaved. you don't know how to get to where you're going, I'm going to make you a promise. I can change your identity. I can change your ability. I can change the power you live your life with. And then with all that, I can change the world. That's the promise of God. Now, God wants to take us from tragedy and from being trapped to feeling triumphant in life. And it's not for ourselves, it's for his glory, because when he does these things, all the world's going to see, and they're going to understand who he is. And so this is about his glory, his honor. This is not some self-help deal. This is the beauty of God created you with a great purpose, and he's not satisfied until you find it, because it's going to bring him glory and honor. Now, a lot of us know what it is to feel trapped. I was thinking through different stages of life. I felt particularly trapped. And I thought about, I grew up in New York, in Long Island, or as my people say it, Long Island. And in Long Island, you can't get your license until you're 18. Or at least, yeah, everybody's like, ooh, what's it going? All right? Now, if you go through a few certain courses, you get at 17. So I actually got mine at 17. And at 17, nothing physically changed about me, but all of a sudden, my identity in the eyes of the authority changed. See, I was kind of had this permission now to not be trapped at my house depending on whether my parents were going to take me someplace. Legally, something changed about who everybody else said I was. And this was great. And so I had this new identity. I had this new authority. I was a person who was allowed to do something. I didn't have to settle for what I had. I didn't have to stay where I was. I had the authority and the identity to go on those roads and get someplace. But I needed this. This is the 1980 Ford Escort station wagon. That's not my exact one, but that was my first car. Now, see, I had an identity, but I need some ability. Like, I actually needed to be able to get on the road to be able to use my new identity. And so not only was I brought out of an old identity into a new one, but I was given a new ability. And we grew up dirt poor, and so my dad, who fixed cars, found this one real cheap and kind of got it ready for me. And this baby was a beauty. I mean, it was, you know, 1980. That was about it. That's all I can say about it. It was about 1980. That was about it. Go-kart engine, rattled after 55 miles an hour. At stoplights, I had to put both feet on the gas and pedal and brake simultaneously so it wouldn't stall. I mean, it didn't seem like much. But let me tell you what. I had the ability to get around. It was a good thing. Now, so I had this identity, and I had this ability, but there was one other thing I was really missing. Yeah, it's called this. Gas. All right? Didn't matter if I just had the identity. Like, I had the permission to be this person, and I actually had the ability, but I needed this thing called gasoline. I needed fuel. And I didn't need it just once. And I didn't just need a little of it. No, see, if I had a little of it, I wasn't going to get very far. And if I only got it once, well, how far was I going to get? See, I needed to develop an idea. So I was given all these new rights, but I had a responsibility to live a different life now. And I had to live with a life that said I need to be filled constantly. I can't just get gas one time. I can't get just a little. See, I need, if I'm going to live out this identity and this new ability in my life, I'm going to get to where I need to go. I've got to have this concept in my mind that I always need fresh power in my life. Always need fresh power. Doesn't matter I got the identity. Doesn't matter that I got the ability. If I don't have fresh power, this is going no place. And you know, first few months, I forgot every once in a while that I need to be refilled. And I found myself on the side of the road in some not too safe circumstances. Because that's what happens when you don't remember that you need to be constantly filled. You find yourself relationally, emotionally, spiritually on the side of the road in not too many good circumstances. We find our marriages on the side of the road in dangerous places, not too good, when we don't remember we need to be filled, not just once, not just a little, but constantly. See, God has this plan for our lives. He said it. We all know it. He's got plans. He's got a destination. He knows where he wants to take us in life. His plans are to prosper us, not to harm us. They're plans to give us a hope. And there's this idea of victory. You see, while the Egyptians in Exodus 6 had to go from Egypt to the promised land, well, we've got another place we need to go to. And you probably can't see this, but that is a Google map of going from defeated Tennessee to victory New York. You see, God's taken you and I on a journey from places of defeat to places of victory, and he knows how to get us there. And he knows the tolls, and he knows the worldly obstructions and obstacles in our way. He knows us how to get there, and he gives us these things through his word. That's why you've got to read that word every day. He knows how to get you there. But I just want to tell you this morning, if you've got the identity, if you've been saved, and if God, you're going to a class right now and you're learning to be free, but if you don't understand that your life revolves around being filled with the Holy Spirit, not just a little, and not just once, but all the time, I'm telling you, you're not going to get there. Because you need a fuel, a fresh fuel in you all of the time to take that identity and to take that ability and to live out and to journey from defeat to victory, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because a new identity plus new freedom without continuous fresh power is just a new way to experience an old defeat. That's where you turn to and say, that's pretty good right there. Yeah, that was pretty good. A new identity with new freedom. I'm learning. I'm beginning to learn how to be a better parent. I'm learning what my sexuality is supposed to be about. I'm understanding what my finances are supposed to be about. I'm understanding this healing process in family. I'm discovering freedom from bondages. You can have that freedom. You're learning. You're being grounded. But if you do not stay filled with a fresh power in your life, you're just going to run into old defeat with all these new things in your life. Does that make sense? We can start in defeat, but we don't have to stay there. God says, I'm going to give you a new identity. You don't live there anymore. You're not a resident of that place anymore. You don't belong in that place anymore. I'm going to give you this ability. I'm going to give you the ability to get there. But you've got to build your life around fresh power. And that's what the scripture does. That's what the promise number 3 is all about. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You're going to know who I am, and I'm life. So good. When you know me, you know life. And guess what? And I'm going to get you to the destination that I have always had planned for you. I'm going to get you there. So that's what we want to look at. God's promise of restoration is this, that I will restore my original purpose and power to your life for my glory. That's his promise for you and I. I'm in a married, living this out in D.C., they're believing, they're living that journey of faith for the Muslims in the D.C. area. And God said, that's part of my purpose. It's always been there. You're learning each season of what it looks like. You're learning the expression of it. It's always been part of my plan. And I've got power for the purpose. That's what my gift of my presence in your life. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So let's just look through this promise, and I hate the word steps because nothing is a clean, neat step in life, but I don't know what else to say. I'm just going to give you 3 steps to live in the power and purpose that God has, and I'm only starting a journey. You're going to have to figure out how you're going to continue this journey, but I want you to hear this today because it's important. The first thing you got to do if you want to live in a fresh power in your life is you've got to truly believe that God has a great purpose for your life despite your past and your problems. Can I get an amen for that? All right, your past and your problems are not God's way of telling you, I don't have a great purpose for your life. Your past and your problems are God's way of saying, you really should follow my great purpose for your life. That's what that is. God has said through his word, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he had planned for us long ago. God's not coming up with a purpose for you now that you're believing him. He's had it from the very beginning. You were created with it. You were created to do great things. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of you have been so, and some of us, what am I saying, you, me, all of us have been so pounded by this world that we have forgotten that God has great plans for us, that God has things for us to do. Now, what is the result of believing that you do not have a great purpose? The result is you don't search for great power. Why do I need great power if I don't have a great purpose in my life? So the enemy's plan is to destroy. We're going to talk about that in a minute. The enemy's plan is to destroy that concept of his great purpose for your life, because if you don't believe you got a great purpose, you don't need great power. And so what God wants to do is he wants to remind you, and Christ himself said it, you're supposed to be the light of the world. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, Pastor Sean, I'm happy to be the light, but I got so many problems. Well, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, and 7, for God made his light shine in our hearts, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that this all-surpassing power is from God and not for us. Everybody else sees who's the one taking us from defeat to victory. You know, it's not me. My 1980 Ford Escort station wagon's not all that impressive, okay? It may not seem like much, but if it's filled with the right power, God's grace is on it, I can get to that place of victory in life. Now, I want to encourage you. You need to pay attention to your past and your pain, not because you should be trapped by it, but should give you a little clue about your future. You know, the enemy tends to attack you in the very place your purpose is in life. The place, if he could discourage you in one place in your life more than any place else, what's he going to want to do? Take the one place where you're meant to experience more victory, more satisfaction, more joy, see more of his glory, and pound you in that area until you don't even think that you belong in that place. You're looking at a guy who, when I was in elementary school, I used to cry when I had to give a book report in front of 23 kids in class. Yeah, that's me. I mean, if the enemy was going to challenge me in one area, what was he going to do? He was going to attack the one place I was supposed to be in life. Who cares about the other stuff? If I get you in your purpose, I've got you, period. I used to, true story, fourth grade, I had my recorder test. I cried giving my recorder exam, so much so that the teacher took me out in the hallway by myself to go. I don't know the rest. There's hot cross buns. Hey, I just did it. That was a great moment. That's a redemptive moment in my life right there. I just played the recorder. Pastor Brandon, I am available next week for worship. Yes. I want you to think about it. The place you are most discouraged in life is not an accident of this world. It's a place where the enemy says, that's the one place I don't want you to get it. So the reason we believe in bondage breaker, the reason we take some time to recognize how to heal from the past is not to get trapped there. It's because our future is all about what the enemy was trying to do in that moment. God has a great plan for your life. I can play, I can go to parties, you can call me up, I'll cut a CD, you can have that later. And so number two, I will redeem you. I've got to believe I've got a great purpose. Number two, God says I'm going to redeem you with an outstretched arm. God's arm in the Old Testament is always a symbol of his overwhelming power. When God reaches out his arm in the Old Testament, it gets done. Nothing stands in his way. They talk about the Red Sea in the Old Testament. You know what they say about it? His arm was outstretched and the water ran away. So what's God saying when he makes the promise, I'm going to redeem you with? With what? I'm going to redeem you with a power from me that nothing in this world can face. Ezekiel, the very core of the new covenant that you and I live, the new relationship we have in Jesus Christ, is the promise of the Spirit in us. And what does he say, by the way, he's going to do with that Spirit in us? It's going to move you to follow where he wants to take you. It's going to move you. Sometimes we live in kind of a sanitized world and a sanitized Christianity. It says the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. Well, the Trinity is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everything about what God wants to do in your life revolves around your understanding of not just being filled a little and not just being filled once, but being constantly filled. What is Ephesians 5:17? Do not act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. David never beats Goliath until when? Until after he is anointed. Peter never preaches his sermon until when? Until he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't start his ministry until when? After the Holy Spirit comes upon him. See, the promises of God is, I'm going to give you a new identity, and I'm going to give you a new ability, and you've got to live in my power. You've got to live in who I am. And then I want to look at this, and then we're going to finish up. You've got to resist Satan's plan for your life, because guess what? God is not the only person with a plan for your life. Everybody got that? God is not the only person with a plan for your life. Satan has a plan. Jesus said it really clearly. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he steal, kill, and destroying? Your purpose. Your purpose that is a key to living in every victory that God has for you. God has a promised land for you. He wants you to go someplace. He's got a picture of where you're ending up. And Satan knows it. And his plan is to steal, kill, and destroy that. Satan wants you to have the antique roadshow experience without the roadshow experience at the end of it. Oh, I found that plate at some garage sale. I bought it for $20. Nobody cares about it. Nobody wanted it. I thought it looks pretty nice. Oh, by the way, I literally saw this the other day. Oh, yeah, that's a Picasso plate that's worth $20,000. Oh, wow, okay. Why does nothing I buy at a garage sale ever turn into that? What prayer do you pray for that? Because I really want to pray that prayer. Satan's got a plan. And that plan is to destroy your life. And the Scripture says you've got to resist that plan. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You've got the power. The Holy Spirit upon you, resisting the work of the enemy, will always lead you to victory, New York. You'll make it to Promised Land, South Carolina. I'm telling you, it's really a place. James 4:6-10, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Open yourselves up. Have you and I spent as much time being open to the Holy Spirit as we've spent having our car open to gasoline? Have we? I mean, can you imagine if, man, I was like, hey, I got a long trip. I know that fuel, power is important. I'm going to go to the gas station. And I'm going to get to the gas station. I'm going to get some coffee and a donut, and I'm going to leave. Well, that's great that you're at the gas station. I don't think you got any power for the journey, though. You just can't be spirit-led. Like, I know where the gas station is. I know I need to get there. It's like, no, you need to be filled. This morning, you need to be filled. And as you do that, you need to resist the work of the enemy. Anything that brings division in your marriage, any attitude of bitterness, of hatred, of prejudice, any place where in your desire to see God's work, you kind of hate somebody because they're not doing it right. Yeah, that's, man, you're on the side of the road. You are on the side of the road. And what you need to do this morning is you need to say, God, I just want to humble myself. I'm going to resist that attitude, going to resist hopelessness. I am not trapped. Condemnation says, you're a mess and there's no way out. Conviction says, you're a masterpiece and here's the plan. All right? You can get conviction in your life. You need to be convicted about some things that are wrong. That's God identifying what you need to resist in life. That's not God telling you you're a waste. That's God saying you're just a messed up masterpiece waiting to learn it right. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I am a messed up masterpiece. Oh, come on, really look at each other. I mean, look at each other in the eye and say it. Because the other person's saying, amen, hallelujah. Truth is reigning in the house this morning. This is an exciting moment for all of us. Hey, you and I, we're messed up masterpieces. But let me tell you what. God's got a beautiful plan. And you are a masterpiece nonetheless. Women of our church, don't you be settling for anybody that doesn't treat you like a masterpiece. Can I get all the guys to say amen for that? Come on, guys. Amen. Come on, guys. Yeah, absolutely. You are a masterpiece. And don't let anybody tell you differently. Just because your past tells you differently and your problems tell you, don't listen to that. That's not what God has for you. And you know what? But Pastor Sean, I've made so many mistakes. So believe for great power then. But why are you going to believe for great power if you don't believe you got a great purpose? Man, that car went all that much. But it got me places. It got me places. Because it was fueled up. Not just once, not just a little, but all the time. So I'm going to ask you today, how much filling do you need? You know, the worst thing you can do is church and come into church and say, I'm going to come and I'm going to think about my problem until God shows me an answer. That's a really lousy way to come to church. Because what you end up doing is you end up getting defeated by your problem. But when you come to church, say, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to focus on Him. I'm going to get filled up. Guess what? Answers come like as the side. So how'd you come in today? What you been doing all this service? You been thinking about how you're going to fix life? Or you're going to focus on the one who is life this morning? The scripture says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You can sit there and kind of try to figure this out. You just ask. God, I need more of you. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey Him. God, I'm willing to obey you today. I'm willing to obey you today. I'm willing to do it your way today. I'm not going to choose how I get out of defeated Tennessee. I'm not going to say I don't get to go until I get my car, my way to get there. Whatever clunker you put me in, God, as long as I'm going out, I don't care. Because I want more of you. But I ain't getting any place. I ain't getting any place without fresh power in my life. Fresh life. Fuel for the journey. Marriage, if you're feeling like if you don't know what to do, you need fuel. It's not the other person's issue. I'm sure they got some, you got some too. It's the fuel. It's the power in your life to believe. You're tired. You feel trapped at work. Guess what? You need fuel. You're giving up on believing for great purpose in your life. You just need to say, God, I don't even know what that purpose is. But instead of me trying to figure out, I'm going to trust if I come and I ask and I'm willing to, I'm just going to resist the enemy this morning. I'm going to say yes to you. God, the rest is yours. You'll get me. You'll get me there. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. We're going to sing that song, Come to the Altar Again, this morning. And I don't want you to come to the gas station this morning and go into the convenience store and use the restroom and get some Skittles and not fill up. All right? I want you to take a moment and cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you. I need you.